Hi dear movie breakers, here's Lida Bach again. I'm still in Venice and we have another interview for you. This time with a movie that still is awaiting its festival premiere. It's Stranger Eyes and I'm here with the director. So, Xia Jiuhua.
Xiuhua, yep.
Xiuhua, yep. Wow.
That's a difficult one.
That's a difficult one. But you made an amazing movie, and I think it's your first time in Venice?
Yes, it's the first time I'm with a film in Venice. We were here previously, I think it was 2 years ago, for the Venice Gap financing to get money for this film. Yeah, so, but it's the first time I'm with a film here in Venice, yes.
And how does it feel then? Like 2 years ago, it was still kind of like a dream project, and now you're actually in competition even. You're not just in Venice or the festival, you're in competition.
Yes, it is an amazing feeling. Yeah, I mean, I always loved Venice, the film festival, and to have my film here, finally, it's a dream. I'm being told that this is also the first time a Singapore film
is in
running for the main competition for the Golden Lion, and so it's a big honor. It's a big deal for me and for my people at home, right? Like they're cheering on for me in that way, and it's really cool. Yeah.
It's like a football match. Oh, pressure.
There's some pressure now. Like no. But I'm taking it chill. Like yeah.
And a nice aspect is that since here all we do is like watching and looking, and of course the film festival always is also a lot about seeing people and being seen, and this has a lot at least to do with your movie's main motive and main subject, which is surveillance, it's voyeurism, it's also fetishization of looks and looking at other people, and also projecting in the sense of having an idea or writing one's own story, what one thinks another person's life or personality might be like. So in many aspects it's about a very filmic subject, but a very in a very pathological way. When did the idea for the story first come to you?
I think with most of my films, sort of the inspiration for me has always been the environment that I live, right? So in Singapore, we are a very sort of densely populated country, living in apartments that are very, you know, close to each other. And I'm always sort of looking at my neighbors, they're looking back at me. It's a daily ritual that like we're looking at each other. But then at the back of my head, at the same time, I know that the state is watching me, right? Like through surveillance. So it's how the state is watching me, watching other people, right? So this idea of us watching each other and at the same time being watched, it's I guess sort of the starting point of the film. I think what really concerns me, you know, over and above surveillance and all these things, is really, as you put it, like ways of seeing each other, to live in a situation knowing that we're being watched and at the same time watching others like never before. I think it's quite unprecedented, this moment that we are in, right? Like we are putting ourselves up as images on social media to be seen also, right? On some level, our existence is tied up to being seen, being liked and subscribed also, right? To be acknowledged through being seen by as many people as possible in some ways. And yeah, I just feel like it's something that we've never experienced so intensely as a human race, you know. And something that I really want to explore. And as you put it also, like I think cinema has a tendency, right, for voyeurism. That's what we do in films. We watch films because we want to see something, and in some ways we want to see something without the person knowing that we're watching them. That's voyeurism. That's the little voyeur in all of us, right? And I mean, my film is about this stuff, but at the same time it comes from a long tradition in cinema of cinema being voyeuristic, of voyeuristic cinema, of
like, sure, I mean, yeah. There are movies like, you know, Rear Window,
exactly.
Or Blow Up that come to mind, which
exactly.
are all about the act of looking and also like questioning, is that what I think I see really happening, or am I just putting things together the wrong way? And this is also something that the main character, and he's like a young father who has his daughter, his baby daughter gets kidnapped, and he and his partner, they are like desperate to get her back, but the police are just kind of slow or not taking much action, but simply kind of say, okay, sooner or later the culprit will reveal themselves. And so this father starts to spy on a guy who he thinks is the might be the culprit, but at the same time they both receive videos that show them in their private life, so they are being watched, and the father at the same time is turning into a watcher. So it's kind of like this need to observe, this obsession with observation is almost becoming like addictive or contaminating.
It's my idea that actually watching is not a passive act, right? It's like as you watch someone, it's transformative of you, the watcher, the observer. It changes you, just as well as knowing that someone is watching you changes you too. So this idea of like us watching each other and being watched, it's in a sense very transformative in that sense. It's an active watching, maybe in the same way as watching cinema, like a powerful piece of cinema changes you, right? Like as you put it, like the younger character, he's watching this the older guy, and in my film, I don't know if you picked it up, like he starts to imitate almost, right?
They're like mirror images.
Yeah. It's whether they are actually mirror images or that they are starting to become like each other through the act of watching, because I honestly believe that if you sincerely watch someone, intently watch someone for a long time, you start to become like them. At least that's how I experience it. Yeah. If you watch someone in a way without purpose, without turning the other into an instrument or a means, then you're just watching someone purposeless, and all of a sudden you lose yourself in the other person, and you start to almost become like the other person, and that's where the sort of like the mirror imaging starts to happen, and it's very strange for me.
Yeah, it's indeed a strange but also very gripping movie, and there's also the strong aspect of what I found of social isolation and estrangement and alienation, that this both people, like the older person, like the one that he spies upon, that he watches, is already very alienated from society. He seems very isolated in his private life, and the young guy becomes more and more isolated, and his relationship starts falling apart. So it's even to a certain point that when you think, okay, now things could be great again, or now things could make a turn for the better, then everything just starts to crumble. Is this also like a social theme for you, something that's there in Singaporean society?
I mean, I won't even say Singaporean. Like this idea of watching each other is a pandemic, right? It's like, yeah. We have become so used to watching each other on social media, for example, that it's an alienating process on some ways, right? We feel like we are becoming closer to each other, more interconnected through the technologies, but at the same time, maybe it's not, because we are also losing a lot of what I call real physical interactions, right? And there's an illusion, right, that we are somehow all getting more closer together. But what do we really see when we are just watching someone through a media, right? Maybe my proposal here is that what we see is just ourselves, right? And so we're sort of projecting it back to ourselves.
And it's also very much about the construction of an image, like as well an image that of us is constructed by others as they see only tiny bits of our life. Then even for the voyeur or the spectator, if he sees the couple in one moment and films them, he still has no real picture about who they are or what their life is like. So even his position of power might be an illusion. And is this also a metaphor of state surveillance on the one hand? And on the other hand, of your work as a director, when you project something on the screen and onto actors?
Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely. Now we're being watched by the state, by big corporates, right? By each other through all sorts of devices, all sorts of machineries, surveillance, whether we are aware or not, right? This is very much part of the whole idea that you don't ever get to see the full picture, but maybe that's what we need to understand. There is no one truth, that there are multiple perspectives, right? My only hope is that the perspectives are human perspectives instead of machine perspectives, because increasingly so we are becoming nothing but data, right? We're becoming nothing but some kind of number processed through a machine. I'm kind of nostalgic about being seen by another human person, right? Like across the window, you know? Yeah. And for me, it's important that when we really look at someone, we want to make meaning onto what we are looking at, and we are projecting our own humanity onto whatever we're seeing. And I think that for me is a beautiful thing, actually, right? At the same time, it's never the full picture, because there's so much of you that you're projecting into what you're seeing. And so, you know, it's a pastiche of different images. But at the same time, the image has become more real than who we are, right? The image that we put on social media to be liked and subscribed and followed, you know, increasingly so in this day and age, I'm starting to feel like the image is more real than me.
How did the story develop? Did you write it in one go, or did it change while you were shooting it, and did you make last minute changes, especially regarding, for example, the very surprising and complicated ending, which is also kind of open, which I found was a bold choice?
Well, actually, the writing process was way more complicated, because I started writing this film 10 years ago.
That's a long time.
Yeah, before even my previous film, Alain Imagine. So I wrote this film, a long time ago, and we didn't manage to get the funding we needed to make the film. And so it is only after, I guess, what we call the success of my previous film that we managed to get the funding to make Stranger Eyes. And I realized I had to rewrite everything in a very big way, because so much of myself has changed over the years. I needed to make this relevant to myself, like, you know, the 10 years ago me and now is so different. But at the same time, so much has changed in the discourse of surveillance, of privacy. I mean, let's not forget that there is a pandemic that happened, you know, not too long ago. Many of us would like to forget that, but the idea of surveillance has changed so much during the pandemic.
Yeah, it got right? even stronger, like, and even totally. On a neighborly level, that your neighbors are watching your every step
every
and
step.
Reporting you to the police.
Exactly. In fact, you need to be socially responsible to self-surveillance, right? Previously, we were talking about, oh, should we have our privacy encroached? You know, like, is it right? But at some point, it is socially irresponsible if you don't self-surveillance, right?
Exactly,
so much of that has changed, like, intensely, so quickly. Now, we are no longer asking whether should we be surveillance, but now we need to ask about how do we coexist with this new reality of being constantly watched.
Yeah, it's almost like a Big Brother scenario. Is that also an inspiration? Or if not, what were your inspirations on, like, a more artistic level, like, or filmic level?
I think the idea of Big Brother and surveillance is has always been there, but I think, like I say, we live in an unprecedented moment of watching each other, and this, you know, we're in a new state of saying we can't even say that being surveillance is wrong anymore. I mean, on some level, it does make the you know, society a little bit safer. You know, like, oh, I lost my kid, can we look at surveillance cameras to see who took my kid, right? I mean, now the very tool of whether the police how they investigate stuff is through surveillance cameras, right? So on some level, it's not so clear cut anymore. It's not so you know, direct like in the past where surveillance just is the demon. You know, we need to live with this current situation, and as much as we don't like it, that it's a negotiation in terms of society, right? Like, you know, how much should we be surveillanced? Yeah. For me, what's scary is that we just don't know what is this idea of being constantly watched. What is it doing to us as a human race, you know, in general, because it is not something that we've experienced so intensely, you know, at least up to this point. Yeah.
You also have a very interesting visual style in your movie, because you always change between the camera perspective, then we have surveillance camera perspective, then we have those little videos that are intercut. Is that your specific trademark style? Like, do you like to vary your styles and camera works?
I think it depends on the film that I'm doing, and this film particularly is about subjectivities and perspectives, right? So I think it's something that I, you know, me and my collaborators, especially my DP, we work very closely in terms of like how do we present, you know, how do we present that different perspective? How do we present, you know, someone that's being seen through either a surveillance camera or a DVD, like something that's recorded for the DVD. And in some, like, when I see myself as an image on a very pixelated, low quality or low resolution image, and a 4K high resolution image, the idea of the image itself changes. It's very uncanny, and on some level it's a little bit surreal through that virtual space, right? Like, yeah. And I think I wanted to present all the different kind of perspectives, you know, into the film, because there is, for me, no one big truth to the matter.
You have an amazing main actor. Like, how did you find him? Was it a conventional casting process?
It was, but at the same time, I think for me, casting Lee Kang-shun as the voyeur was a no-brainer. I mean, if I wanted to find a silent voyeur with a powerful gaze like this, for me, there was no second choice. It was like Lee Kang-shun or nothing, because for me, he's not just another actor. He's on a league of his own, right? Like the power of his, he has a real mastery of his body language, because of, you know, his body of work has been very minimal in dialogue, you know, and he really knows how to use his body and his gaze to tell that story. And so it was very important for me to get Lee Kang-shun to play the role of the voyeur. Just as well, I was very interested to work with Wu Jianhe and Anika, and these are actors who I admire a lot already, watching from their previous works. And so I think I got myself a bit of a dream team in terms of my casting. Yeah. It wasn't easy, but eventually we managed to get them to get their schedules, everything together, and I'm very, very pleased with the casting that we have. Yeah.
You mentioned you worked on your last film, on this film, already 10 years ago. So do you already work on something new? Like, do you have a new project already?
it's a bit early for me to give it a name to talk about it. I mean, I am picking up some interesting reads that maybe I'm interested to see if maybe there's something out there that would resonate with me that I can do an adaptation maybe for the next one. But I think it's still a bit early for me to be able to. Yeah.
So do you already know if it again will be a genre movie, like a crime or a thriller movie, something in that darker direction?
Who knows? I mean, honestly, at this point, I don't know. Maybe, but...
So, if the people now see your movie here in Venice, like at this bright location, like what do you hope that audiences, like also after the cinematic release, will take from this film?
Oh, good question. Well, you know, maybe for me, the idea here is like, don't take everything you see as just what's on the surface. I think it's important for us to really understand how to look at people and at things with more intention, with more attention, now than ever before, because now we're in an age of scrolling, right? We're never really watching someone anymore, you know, sincerely. And what I hope with this film is that, yeah, we can pay more attention.
That's an excellent closing statement. Thank you so much for the interview. And Stranger Eyes is now running in Venice, where you can still see it. And as soon as it has a German release, we let you know at Movie Break. So I'm Lida, and I say we hear each other next time. Goodbye, guys.
Goodbye. Thank you.